This is Whitley Strieber, and this is Dreamland. You've reached the edge of the world.
I am very happy and frankly fairly amazed to be doing Dreamland this week. It is Monday. We are a couple of days late for the first time in 20 years. And that is because when I returned to my apartment in California from Texas, from a 10-day trip to Texas to help a friend who was ill, I found the following. All of the smoke detector batteries in the house were drained. When I tried to put in new batteries, the new batteries, which would have been in the closet, were drained too. My computer power supply was blown out. My car battery, I went out to try to get new batteries. My car battery was dead. Now, all of that was fixed fairly quickly. I got AAA to fix the car. I went out and bought new batteries, and they're fine. But the computer was the problem and still is. So thank you very much, Jeremy Vaney, for allowing me and Sonia Barrett, one of our favorite guests who is scheduled to return this week, to use your good offices and your edition of Skype to talk. And Sonia, welcome to Dreamland by what remains of Whitley Strieber.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I kind of feel like you do. I think I'm just coming back from, I don't know, some off-world experience myself. So anyway,
well,
here we are.
I am coming back from an off-world experience, literally, because when I was in Texas, I was at a very isolated country house, relatively isolated, where I've been going since I was a baby. And there were two major encounters that took place there. And folks, if you want to read about them, go to Whitley's journal. It's all explained there in great detail. I don't want to get into that right now because we're not here to talk about that. We're here to talk about Sonia and what she's doing. So when you say you had another worldly experience, may we know what that was? Or just a figure of speech?
You know what? Maybe it's a figure of speech, but I think that there are times when it just feels like that. When what I like to say is there are times when you're just absent. Where you feel as if you're on auto and, then you have to call yourself back, which is what I do. You know, sometimes I'm gone for a week. Sometimes I'm gone for a month. And it might sound strange to some people, but I'm conscious of the fact that I'm not feeling completely here, completely available to my matrix life. And then those are the moments where when it goes too far, I say to myself, okay, I don't know where you've gone, but you need to get back because, you know, the other personalities, the other aspects of me have been holding it down and, they need you to come back. So that's something that I do see though, Whitley, and I have talked about that in workshops that I do. I don't think we are this singular experience like the way we like to think. I think that we operate in multiple levels of who we think we are, and I think there are aspects of us that seem to be more the prominent part of us that handles certain things, that's sort of the leader of the pack. If that makes any sense, but that's kind of what I mean by that.
Now, you mentioned, as you were talking, your matrix life, and this is a major aspect of your whole approach. Can you tell us what that means?
Well, when I say my matrix life, I mean in terms of the more third dimensional experience, this life that we seem to look upon and engage with on an ongoing basis that has rules and regulations related to our physical, you know, being or physical bodies. What's can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. That's related to my physical existence. All the things we do, like the idea of paying bills and driving a car and following the rules and the government and all that stuff. That's what I refer to as your matrix life.
And why matrix? Why use that word?
Well, a matrix is really just a system. It's a, it's really all it is. It's a construct. A matrix is, could be a simulation. It simply means that there is a specific way in which, an environment may operate based on a specific set of rules related to that system. For example, I like to remind people that the town you live in, or let's say Los Angeles, is its own unique matrix, meaning its own unique system, its own unique environment, its own unique energy and feeling and way of operating. And you'll hear people say, oh, people from New York operate this way. Oh, people from Chicago. That's because they're all their own unique systems, their own unique constructs. And when we are part of them, we tend to adopt certain behaviors and certain energies that are related to the unspoken rules that seem to exist in each of these spaces. Towns, same thing, little towns. We say it's a matrix within a matrix within a matrix. Systems within systems within systems. You know, little towns within Los Angeles, they have their own little way of operating, neighborhoods. That's their own little matrix as well. So it's just opening up our minds to see that, yeah, it's just a lot of systems and systems and systems. And, not necessarily, you know, always take it in a space of, oh my God, when I say a matrix, it's like this thing out there. No, it's just all systems. Our body is a matrix. It's a system. It's got its own environment and its own way of operating. The universe is another matrix system, simulation. These are all just environments or constructs with specific ways in which anything within the confines of that space operates based on certain rules and guidelines and so on.
So why should we care, in the sense that is there something that we're missing by living in this as we do? As I mean, you describe it, that's my life. It's the life of everybody I know.
You're talking when I mentioned anything specific? You mean I mentioned the third dimensional?
No,
just in general?
No, just the way it all unfolds and what the matrix is. And is there something richer that we should be living in and aren't? Or what exactly is going on here?
I think awareness. You see, there are people that, most people, I should say, and I can't even, I don't know every being that's on the planet. So, but I'm using that loosely, saying that most people, operate more on an automatic way. So no, most people aren't thinking about it the way that I'm thinking about it, but I kind of think about it that way, from just the awareness aspect, that this is how everything sort of is. It's that it has its own unique way of function, and how do I fit into that? And, in the sense of how I am operating. So I am operating based on all these things that I have said. You know, how authentic am I then if I am bouncing off of the way the rules, the unspoken rules and the spoken rules about these various environments? It's just awareness. Awareness is key. To be aware is key. Sure, we could just go on our lives, which again, I think a lot of people do. You don't think about it, and who cares? What does it matter? Oh, it does matter. It matters because you get to see more. When you are operating in an awareness of how things really are at the, as microscopic as we can get with it, you get to see deeper layers. You have to remember that your brain filters what we see, what we're actually experiencing. So we're not really, there's a lot that obviously we don't see. What we see is just a minuscule, just so minuscule, and that doesn't even define it in terms of what's really there. So we have all these spaces between spaces and all of these things that are going on, but when we are operating so in such an automated way, a lot goes by us. But you start to see, and your brain says, oh, and then it starts to allow you to see more. because you've given it permission, not because anybody else has done anything. You have given this filtration system, this in go-between system of your brain permission to show you more of what it's already seeing, what's already there. And this is why it becomes important.
And as it becomes important, what you're talking about is discovering, in a sense, that we're not really real here. This is more of a, like a play that's unfolding. Am I right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I've, over the years, people have known me for referring to it as a game, and some people go, well, this is not a game. But I refer to it as a game. I refer to it in that manner because, just as you said, it's like you're on stage, you come and you get into these costumes and, you play a part, you play a role, so you're acting as well. We have just become invested in these characters that, these identities that we have all taken on. We've become so invested in them. So yes, if somebody says it's a game, some people get really upset and offended because they don't want you, in their minds, reducing this experience they're having, this human experience they're having, to something that is less than. But in all actuality, yes, we're playing a game, and we see that all the time, which is how games are formed. Games, we're replicating the overall experience and the model by which we are all participating in this particular experience that we call the human experience. We're always replicating, these concepts. So I think that, and also let me say, the fact that most people are trying to discover, you know, where we are, you know, is there a way to get beyond it? Is there a way to get out of it? Some people want to escape it. We're scientists. Everybody's constantly trying to figure out, you know, what makes it tick? What makes it work? Is there an out? You know, all of these things. That's a game. We can't say on one level we go, oh, well, you know, we're all one. You know, ultimately we, you know, source is manifesting through us. We say all these wonderful things. But when you bring it back to the realization, then if that is the case, then that which is that cannot be defined is playing a game with itself. And we see, and that is happening through everything that appears to be in existence, that which we can see and that which we can't see. So we are all in these costumes experiencing and allowing that which is to have the journey, the experience of the journey, and not just the outcome, not just to be aware, to know the outcome, but to actually take the journey from one point to the next. And that, of course, point A to point B, anywhere there are two points, there's something in between. There has to be. It creates distance. It creates time from one point to the next. Something happens in between those two points. And that's what we do. We are participating in all that occurs between one point to the next point. And that's how the journey occurs. And that's why we have the idea of time. This concept of time allows us to have this experience. But yet, at the end of the day, from science and everything that we innately know, is there any time? Does time really exist? Is there any here nor there? Or here or there? There is no here nor there. Everything simply is. That's a game.
In other words, we are kind of observing it in sequence. You know, interestingly enough, you started out mentioning this is a game, and that was the first time I had contact with Annie after she died. Once she had established the fact that she was really there by contacting Trish and Rob McGregor and Alex Rotaru and Claire Henry and a number of other people first, so that even thick old Whitley would finally decide there was something going on. She said to me, it's a game. Those are her first words.
Mm-hmm.
And I could feel the smile in her face that it was actually, this was all a game. But Sonia, is this a serious game? Does it have consequences? What kind? What if it's a game? It seems like it's kind of trivial in a way. But I don't have that impression. I have the impression it's a pretty serious game.
Well, again, there's the word serious is. Boy, this is such an incredible subject. It's such a big subject because I've been talking about it forever. I talk about it in very out there ways, but, you know, it's like define serious. Well, serious for us is based on what? Our investment in these identities, in these roles that we play. This is where the idea of serious comes in. And also, the fact that we're dealing with this polarized experience. It's good, it's bad, it's light, it's dark, you know, it's positive, it's negative. That is our thinking, you know, good, bad. And so therefore, yes, it comes to us in the sense of, oh, this is really serious, you know, things can happen here. But then if we go back to the fact that there is nothing, but yet that nothing is everything, that everything really is coming from that nothing, you know, it kind of starts to reduce everything, as I'm talking about, everything that we think is so serious to absolutely nothing other than a game within which, you know, we are involved, that our sensory system is processing. And that sensory system is this body that processes sensations, emotions, feelings. That is what wires us to, or networks us to, this game. This is where we make our assessments. And this is where we get stuck, because this sensory system, as magnificent as it is, it could cause us to think, to get so lost and so addicted, because it's like we are on drugs. Technically, yes, we are. The hormones and chemicals that course through us. We are addicted to this reality and to our lives. And so, yes, we approach everything with finality and seriousness and conclusiveness. And that's what traps us, in the game as it is. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. And what should we be doing?
You also said, are there consequences? So I do need to see the consequences. And then we have to go same thing, define consequences. Because we have to remember a lot of what we, these words, a lot of the definitions that we have behind it are based on our perceptions that are based on our identity or attachment to the game experience, this human game. So yes, we have these other definitions in terms of are there consequences? Well, what does that mean? What do we mean by that? When we say, are there consequences, what? Can something go wrong? Can something happen if we don't do things a certain way? Consequences, is there danger involved? We have to really look at that. What do we mean by, are there consequences? I'm going to ask you, Whitley, if you were to describe to me, what does that look like for you when you say, are there consequences? Then I will respond with that part.
Okay, well, look at what just happened to me. My entire life was blown to smithereens, in effect, while I was in Texas. And is there any reason for it? Was it something I did, or?
There's always something. You know, everything is based on, I don't know, something that we're doing. Now, it depends on how we interpret this, how we see this. Now, when you say your life was blown to smithereens, tell me exactly one more time what happened when you came back.
Okay. I walked into the house. The smoke alarms were beeping, which was unusual in and of itself because, you know, smoke alarms don't all go off at this. So anyway, I replaced the batteries and they were all dead too.
Mm-hmm.
Then I decided to go out and get new batteries.
Mm-hmm.
I went downstairs, and my car battery was also dead.
Mm-hmm.
So I called AAA. They came and restored the car battery. I went out and got new batteries, placed them in the smoke detectors. They're now fine. And I went to turn on my power, my computer. It wouldn't turn on. I determined very quickly that the power supply had failed. Mm-hmm. And I had to have the power supply replaced at considerable expense. So what happened?
Okay.
Some kind of a force was in here that screwed everything up.
All right. So let me ask you this. So when you went to your friend, was your friend very sick?
No, he was recovering from a hip replacement.
Okay, a hip replacement.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't sick at all.
He was just recovering. So you were helping. Okay.
Yeah, I wanted to be there to talk and basically be a good friend.
All right. So you weren't tired in the process of doing that at all?
Not at all. No, okay. I had a good flight back. It was a nice trip.
Okay. So I'm asking you this for a variety of reasons, but now when you say you came back and all these things happened and you said your whatever got blown up, did it really get blown up? Was it really severe? Was it really that bad? It wasn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It's $500 worth of repairs.
I'm saying this to you because you know, it truly is how we do choose to look at it. And I get it. Okay, so we're spending, now you have to put out matrix dollars. And that's why I say this is such a big subject. I mean, well, I could spend hours taking this thing apart, really, so that we could see exactly how we're involved in this thing based on all the things that we end up, that we're networked into, all the things that
This is exactly why I find your work so interesting, because you do that. I've seen you do it many times, and listeners who go back a while with Dreamland know you've been on this show a number of times, and you know, you can really help restore perspective. That's why I thought it was actually a really good time for you to be on the show just right after this happened. It was a good synchronicity or coincidence, actually.
Well, yeah, the thing is this. Okay, there are a couple of things. I did ask you because I just wanted to see how much energy you actually expelled, because everything that you told me was about recharging. That everything you mentioned to me was about recharging. Now, generally, recharging, right? And that involves you too, because everything bounces off of you, your car, you know, all of it in somehow. So it's either you had, I don't know if before you left, if you had some awakening, some kind of expansive whatever within yourself, you know, all those things can be part of what happens and your environment responds. Somehow your environments end up responding. Now, we could say there's a trickster running around knocking everything out. We could say that too. I'm not really feeling necessarily that was the case. Somehow it has to do with you. But we have to then say, not put it in a place of is it a good thing? Is it a bad thing? Sometimes it's just not. It's just not. But we're used to needing to put it into something where it's a good or a bad thing. Some of this stuff we have to be able to step back, because I've had all kinds of really interesting things happen. But to be able to step back and go, okay. And sometimes it just requires that you go, okay, this happened. I'm not sure exactly why it happened, but you just go ahead and you do what you need to do and you proceed with it. The game becomes bigger and spreads into all kinds of other things happening when we take situations and we expand it into other things. We've expanded into good or bad, like dark, positive, negative. These are cues. These are cues for other things to begin to happen in our lives. Things that 2 weeks from now, you will not remember what you had said or how you had responded that had opened up this field. And you took a walk down through this new portal based on all that you thought it was negative. And then it sort of ripples into something else. But it's not good or bad. It's just realizing in that moment how you're thinking and get the fact that how next week is being created technically right in this moment. Like your thinking, your understanding of this, everything is sort of happening now. I don't know what you did before you left or what your thinking was before you left or what conversations you had before you left. But somehow, yes, energetically, as far as a charge is concerned, everything just sort of blew out. And I think it is for you at this point to don't see it as something coming in and disrupting. You know why? Because all that does right now is it opens, it gives something else permission. It gives something else permission, like, oh, okay. So that means we can come in on and start writing on this. And then next week you find out that you have all these other things happening because you opened up that thought as opposed to just being there more of an observer and going, okay, this is what happened. This is how you shut things down. And I know for some people, they're like, yeah, but I need, no, that's too easy. I'm telling you, this is how you shut things down. Everything is taking its cue from you. It's a feedback loop. And even though you might not figure out or might not know why when you came back that happened, you have a choice as to whether you open up that portal now and invite this whole other thing of whatever happens next week or the rest of the year. It's just domino effect. So I hope that makes sense. But it's neither good or bad. Honestly, Whitley, what happened to you? It you have to see it like that. It was neither a good thing or a bad thing that happened to you. Did you have the money to pay for this? You had,
yeah.
Okay.
I had the money to pay for it.
All right.
Okay. Unusual too in my life.
Okay. Okay. So this is the other aspect of it. When you say, yeah, I had the money to pay for it. Well, okay. So then you leave it right there. You're like, okay, I had the money to pay for it. We it's very hard for us to do that. We can't stop it. Okay. So I had the money to pay for it. Okay. Great. Thank goodness. That's how this game is crazy. I say this game is criminal because it is. You stop right there with it. You go, I had the money to pay for it. Now what you added when I asked you was, thank goodness, based on my life, or something like that, right? Isn't that what you said?
Yeah.
Which means, okay, your cash may fluctuate. Those are all codes in language, energetically, in every which way that create a feedback loop and make things continue to happen. They just kind of happen based on this construct that you've created. And I hope I'm explaining it because this is a science. I want people to understand this. I am not just talking about being positive. I'm not talking about that positive thinking. That's not what I'm talking about. I am telling you that everything here is responding according to codes, that things that come out of our mouths and our thoughts. It is a feedback loop that happens and everything waits for permission to engage. This is how it all works. Permission to engage. And where does permission come in? By the next thought or conclusion that you have about what happened. This is how things are constantly in motion. This is why quantum physics, they talk about the observer effect. This is really what it is. Your thought becomes the observation of focus in something bad happening to you. And then that leads you into 12 other things that will take you through the month of December.
Yeah.
I hope that happens. I hope that kind of answers it because it is a big question. And I do workshops on this kind of stuff all the time, but you have to understand we're doing not an hour long. We're doing some, you know, this has been going on for a while with some people with doing this workshop where you start to see the game more and more. You start to understand how this is working. You start to truly become an observer of your life. You start to see how this thing really is happening. I'm not talking little minuscule observation, topical observation. I'm talking seeing it. The spaces between the spaces and how your response because this is a reactionary place. This place operates based on a reaction. Well, you do something and then there's a reaction to it, and it's based on that, and that includes a belief system or a thought, something that you're thinking or you believe, and it reacts according to, you know, to all of that.
Well, it's a situation which feels very ominous to me. And the reason it does is that when I was in Texas, I had these two nights of really intense experiences that were like close encounter experiences, but much more intense than that. And then I come home and it's like somebody has come in here and really messed with my life. And it doesn't feel like it was me at all. It feels like it's somebody else that was doing this. And I'm sitting here trying to do Dreamland over a cell phone because of the fact that whoever came in here or whatever happened in here just blew my stuff up. I don't see it as being something that I did at all.
Yeah, but when we say something that you did, it's not a sense of blame, because when we say it's not something that I did, it's like I'm not blaming myself for any of this. But whatever we interacted, whatever enters our space, I am telling you, there is always some permission that happens because we operate so automated. There's so much that we do not notice that we are doing and saying that is giving permission. There's all
now
kinds of
that
elements.
That could be true. That could be true. I can't deny that.
There's a lot of elements out there. There are a lot of essences out there. There's a lot that exists that needs engagement, that needs to experience life, that needs attention, that needs to draw one's attention so that there can be an engagement, and then sometimes there can be mischief. But everything wants to live, everything wants to experience, everything is looking for some sort of engagement. And it's like going into a bar, you know, which is again why they call, you know, alcohol spirits. You go into a bar, you drink too much, you're open, you become vulnerable, you know, there's all kinds of stuff floating around in there. And they're all just looking for wherever they can where they can hop on and chat, have a good time and experience and explore. We just have to see it that way. And that's why it becomes so important that we become, as we said in the very beginning, aware of the systems, aware of how this functions, aware, and not simply just operate from our character self, our identity self. When we operate that way, we are much more vulnerable because all we can see is something that is a danger or something that might be done to us. There's always something out there that could potentially be doing something to us. And we have to be able to recognize the master aspect of ourself in order to shut down a lot of this stuff before it happens.
Now, you've talked from time to time, and you've got on your website material about the current situation, like you talk about the corporate matrix and things like that, that I feel like we're trapped in. I feel like we're trapped in this world. It seems like, and it's becoming more and more of a trap because more and more people are getting more and more confused and being intentionally confused about what it is. There's a whole segment of the media that's out there making money by making people angry, even though they do it by lying routinely every single day. If you go on some of those news stations, you hear one lie after another that's calculated to infuriate you. And then you get infuriated and you live like that.
Nature of the game.
It's like they're vampires. It's stealing our lives from us.
Nature of the game. And again, Whitley, we could do at least six hours to make this more clear. But when you said that we feel trapped, that is actually what has to happen. That's what's been happening. It's been like that. But then I always say, who feels trapped? Which part of you feels trapped? You know, who feels like all these things that you're talking about? The character. character. See, we are not taught, even though we'll say, yes, we know there's a more expansive self, my higher self. We say all those things. It's just all intellectual.
But the fact it is, because when you're under the gun, when you're being beat up, the higher self seems very far away.
Well, it's always there, but it's always observing. And when we say we, or where I say I, all these things are happening to me. And I'm telling you how I have done these workshops where people, over time, they come away and they get it. And it is life changing. Who is feeling that way? I am telling you, it is the survival part of you, which is what I call the robotic part of us, the automated self, the character that is here to process the sensations of the experience, the emotional aspect of the experience. That is the part of us. And we need to begin to be so aware of this that we don't take the totality of who we are and condense it into that part. This is what has happened. This is why we feel beat up and the government is doing all this stuff to us and all these things are happening to me. Then I have to ask, who is me? Who am I talking about? Then I take it back to, wait a second, that is the robotic part of me that operates strictly on survival and is completely wired into this human game, this matrix. It is wired up to that, and that part of me is all about survival. And survival means fear. Survival means it's like you're on the run all the time. Something is chasing you. And you're right, the media, the government, all of these things are coming at it all the time. And so most people aren't looking at it from the perspective that I'm saying to you. Everybody has taken the totality of who they are and summed it all up into this 3D version of themselves. The only way to begin to not feel this feeling of being trapped is for us to begin to step back and really get that, wait a second, that is not all of who I am. Now, people find it very difficult to hold on to that part because our addiction to the game, to this human experience, pulls you immediately. The robotic self starts to pull you, going, "What are you talking about? No, but look at what they're doing to us." And then we get right back in it. So we're consumed by it. So it's very challenging to be able to be that other part of us that does not care anything about all of that and really is untouchable, which is why it starts to feel so distant. What you're talking about, your higher self, starts to feel like it's far away because it's observing. And if we were able to truly put that part of us back in the driver's seat, guess what? We're going to tap in more into intuition. We're going to pay attention. We're going to hear. We're going to be in a deep awareness. All of those things are going to happen. Why do you think the system in place works so hard? Our government and we talk about marketing, we talk about the media. Why do you think they work so hard at what they do? Is to ensure that nobody goes to themselves, to the real self. Nobody goes inside.
Why do they care? Someone cares.
It's the game. It's the game. This is a tough part for us. When I keep saying this is a game, and when Annie said it's a game, we must understand that the nature of the game is to come here. I'm talking about the human game right now. To come here and to experience the totality of what it means to be human. It does not mean that you and I will experience every act of what is possible as a human being. But someone is always experiencing every potential, things you can think of and things you can't think of. This is not a biased game. This is not a game that is controlled like people like to think it is. And how do you know it's not really controlled like that? Otherwise, everything would not be allowed. And everything that you can think of and things you cannot even think of is allowed to happen. We best believe that everything is allowed to happen. That's why it happens. So when we start to understand things from that standpoint, we start to realize how distant we are pretty much all the time from the truth of who we are. And yes, everything around us in this game ensures that you are constantly distracted, because the object of the game as a human being is to what? Is to come here and to experience and to figure and to get it. Ultimately, that aha moment when the brain is given permission to show you more and the mind opens up and we are tapped in a way that begins to supersede this minuscule level of the game. Because all that we're talking about is really minuscule, even though we've experienced some what we define as horrific things. And I'm not just talking lightly. I've experienced some things in my life. So for me to say this is because I came to a realization of what this is. I'm like, wow. So now my objective is to see and understand that and be in a more awareness in each moment as I, that kind of awareness, yes, it changes the frequency of your, not your body, your mind, your brain patterns. Everything begins to change and it starts to supersede the frequencies of those things that seem to trap us. They're not as big as we think. We are just immersed in that kind of game that says we are trapped. We can't get out. Somebody's doing something to us. And then we connect with other people who are saying, yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. Yes, you're right. So nobody can pull anybody out because everybody is seeing that you're trapped. So who is there then to go, wait a second, there's something else going on here. I get it. This is science. This has to do with frequencies. This is science. This is not woo.
Now, when you say frequencies, what exactly do you mean?
I'm talking about everything measures a frequency. All our thoughts, all the physical things, everything is a frequency pattern. Every single thing measures something. And when we look at the fact that we can be so interceptible, our minds can be so interceptible, people are more vulnerable or more easily intercepted. I believe with certain levels of brainwave, the measurement, the frequency of our brainwaves, our minds, our small blueprint of reality that we have, our limiting blueprint of reality that we have.
We don't see enough of what's there.
We don't see enough of what's there, and it's because of those limitations. That's why I'm pointing them out. That's why.
What I went through, I can see the edges of it because I see what happened to me and what happened in my life. I mean, it's real. It's just not in this reality. It's something that is normally completely invisible, and it exposed itself a little bit in the sense that it did things to me that are impossible. Nothing can drain batteries, all these batteries, and blow things up like that. That's not even how electronics works. It doesn't work that way. But something did it. So
what's real?
Makes me ask the question, what is real?
Well, you know how I define real, because we throw that word around too. That's real. That's not real. Well, it's a paradox. What is real? Real in my book, The Holographic Canvas, this is how I saw it. And this is how I wrote about it. Real is realm of focus. Whatever the realm is that we're focused on, that is what is real. Whatever we're focused on is what we are defining as real, yet none of it is, but it is. It's the paradox of illusion and real. It is both. It is the wave and the particle dance. We must remember that. The wave and particle are one and the same. They are not two separate things. They are happening simultaneously. and so is everything that we're saying. That's real. Well, the more you zone in on it, yes, it is real, and you're experiencing, you're sensing, it's processing it through your sensory system. You're touching it, you're feeling it. But at the same time, we go, well, it's all an illusion. So,
but it's no illusion. I mean, because
what is an illusion, though?
What happened? I guess it was 2 weeks ago Sunday night. Now, at the country, at this house, I was alone. It's a big, dark house. I was all alone in it. And what showed up were four men, who proceeded to successfully, after a bit of a struggle, put me into an altered state.
When was this? In Texas?
2 weeks ago, Sunday night in Texas at about 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
And I don't remember anything that happened after I was put into that state except waking up the next morning. And I have to tell you, what were they? One of the reasons I was glad I had you on the show is because you think about this kind of thing. They were not people in any
normal sense. They were real. Yeah, but what we're dealing with once again is realms. That's all that was. There's realms on top of realms, pockets of realms. That's what I'm saying. It is a paradox. There is immeasurable spaces of existence, the spaces between the spaces, unlimited spaces between.
Why is it like that?
Why is it like that? Because that's just existence. How would existence be? How would creation be if it was confined to a set of conditions and that's all it was?
If it was confined at all, it would not work.
It would not work.
It would be limited. And once we found the edge, we would be doomed. I mean, it'd be like living in a coffin.
Yeah, it probably would be. But the fact is, we cannot continue to say, and I emphasize this all the time, we just have to stop with this topical intellectualizing of, oh yeah, you know, the creator is everything. You know, everything exists. We say that, but then when stuff happens, then we don't want it to exist. I mean, we can't have it both ways. Everything is. Every potentiality. It's an ocean of potentials. And there are potentialities that are all, they're just there. And we interact with them according to us, to where we are in our thought process, in our understanding, in our belief system, in our blueprint of reality, whatever it is, we interact with a potentiality. That's all we're doing. And that potentiality, everything is just, it's another realm. That realm may look just like this one. We think that this life, this world is static. It's not. We are constantly, it's always moving. We go outside, it looks the same, but it doesn't mean that after you and I have this conversation that you leave the house and the reality that was there when you came inside, it's the same. No, every expansion we have, every growth that we have takes us into a different level of understanding. And this is what happens. That's why it's so necessary for us to grow new neural pathways, for us to experience new things, for us to be expansive in our thinking and our thought process, because there's so much to be experienced and to interact with, so many potentialities. But when your world is small and your thinking is small and you confine reality to the small box of, oh no, that's all the only way it could be, then all your experiences will completely be confined to that space. But it's a moving experience. Nothing is static.
And here I am with this monkey on my back, because that's exactly what it feels like. And it's real serious, you understand? I mean, there's stuff I'm not talking about that's actually probably deadly that's involved with this. And I don't know exactly what it is. I've had, as you know, I mean, I wrote Communion. I've had close encounter experiences, and I've had a long life of relationship with what I call the visitors. It's not been a bad life. I mean, they've been good to me, frankly, and I have learned an enormous amount from them. I wouldn't even have the relationship that I have with my wife now if it hadn't been for what I learned from them. So I'm very grateful to them, but this is different. There's something ominous and frightening about this. There's something here that I don't even think I'm going to live. I might not live through this.
Okay, here is the thing, Whitley. Everything that you're saying it's ominous, it's fearful. I think the last time we were on, we talked about you and permission and all of that.
Yeah,
and sure. I think that this is what I'm picking up. We can look at things, we always look at things as, yes, what's happening to us, they're doing this to us. But what I want to tell you is this. You have been through enough things to start to graduate to a more mastership level. And the only way that it seems like you are going to do that is to be pushed to do it. And this is what's happening. I'm going to be frank with you. This is what's happening to you right now. And you have to get over surrendering, thinking, oh, I might not live through this. No, that's permission. You have got to own your power. You have got to recognize that you are more than the character of Whitley that you have been playing. You have brought yourself to this space. And because you have brought yourself to this space, that realm that you're interacting with that seems dark and fearful, it's a crossover point, and you must cross it. It is a bridge. They have no power over you, and you must cross that bridge. Plain and simple. They have no power, and the sooner you get that they have no power is the sooner you will call and tell me that they just looked at me and then left.
Well, I hope they will.
Well, don't hope. You got to stop the hoping. You've got to know. This is why this stuff is happening to you, Whitley. You just are afraid to go ahead and own knowing. You are afraid to go ahead and just own your power. You are not your body, as you know. It is your body. It is your 3D, the 3D aspect of you that is battling with this. That's all. That's all that is battling with this. Not the other part of you. It just makes you feel vulnerable and all of that because you're not tapping into what you know. Now, all these interactions that you've had and they've been taught and they've helped you to travel at night and all of that. What's happened with that? What's happened with all of that? You have to start owning your power. You've come to this door now. You are at this door and you have crossed many other bridges. You have crossed them. You will cross this one too. The only way you won't cross it is if you decide that you want to go with the old beliefs, the old patterns, and you want to talk to other people who want to go with the old stuff and go, yeah, that's very dangerous. You should do. Let me tell you, danger is something that is it also operates based on when that energy, that frequency can find a resonating frequency and can enter that space. You have to become more than this identity of Whitley. That's all I don't know how else I can tell you that, but all I can say is I know that there is no power. They have no power over you. You have just stepped into a realm. You've just interacted with that realm, but you can cross that realm with no harm, and you will.
Well, I've got to, because you can't live like this. You can't live like this. Absolutely not. Now, we've come to just about the end of the hour, Sonia. This has been valuable to me. I'm not kidding around. I knew it would be, and I'm glad it turned out to be you. And, you know, we've had this appointment to do this show this week for weeks. It's not a new thing. In other words, I didn't call you and say, let's do a show after this happened. This happened long after we'd made this appointment. So folks, this tells you that there's another level of this that is on our side, because this has really helped me. Now, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and what you do? Your website is therealsoniabarrett.com. Tell us more.
Okay, I'm going to tell you, but I just need to say this to you real quick. All right. So all the things that happened to you, remember I said this is not really a good or bad thing. Had that stuff not happened, we would have done the show. You needed to do the show now. You needed to do the show now. This is what I mean by we have to start changing our perception of things. We have to start seeing it's not always a bad thing like we think. We needed to do the show now, and you're so insistent that these things probably happened to get you to just not do it until this specific day.
Until something, until this material was there, because I've got to escape this or I'm going to drown in it.
Well, you're not going to drown. You're going to stop.
I have no intention of drowning.
Exactly. So guess what? So you're going to stop using words like hope and maybe and I've got to. You're doing it. That's it. You've come this far. You're doing it. Annie's rooting for you. She knows. I'm telling you, she knows. She's laughing. You'll do it because she knows it's funny now. It's a game. You will do this, Whitley. You will do this. Anyway, my website is therealsoniabarrett.com, and you can find out a lot about me there. I do a lot of workshops. I do a radio show as well on KPFK 90.7. It's called The Expansion Zone with Sonia Barrett, and that's all on my website. I have a lot in my store and so on, and I have a workshop coming up in Los Angeles, a full-day workshop, April 13th, Saturday, April 13th, and you can get on my website and see that, the information. It's Becoming the Master from Where You Stand. That's the name of it. And it's actually an extension of the workshop I did in January in Los Angeles, called, Stepping into, the Super Consciousness Paradigm.
Sonia Barrett, thank you very much for being with us on Dreamland. Most unusual show, folks, but a most unusual situation. Sonia, we were the ideal guest for this particular experience. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Dreamland. Be sure to tune in again next week. Dreamland is brought to you by UnknownCountry.com and our family of subscribers. Our news editor is Ann Streber. Our science reporter is Linda Bolton Howe. Our webmaster is Daniel Stiegel. And I'm your Dreamland announcer, Brian Arnold. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.